Hi, everybody. How are you today? Welcome back to the Anthony Cumia Show. Of course, my great co-host, Dave Landau, everybody. He's doing his amazing Artie Lang impression. Spot on. Teasing, of course. He's out. He's doing his comedy shtick. He's doing his wacky comedy stand-up routine. Where is he? What city is he in? He must be. He says it every day of every show, but all I hear is the autism thing because he's such a nice guy. He's a pleasant fella. We do have Brian Johnson here, though. Yes, Brian. How are you? Hi. Take a seat in the Landau chair.
Dave is in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Oh, go see Dave Landau in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. That sounds like a pleasant place.
And he won't be here tomorrow either?
No, he's out tomorrow also. He'll be somewhere else.
He'll be at Grand Rapids, Michigan, at Dr. Grimm's Comedy Club.
Dr. Grimm's Comedy Club in Michigan. Michigan is just a weird fucking place. I don't know. It's got like, I don't know. I'm a little afraid of Michigan. I'm a little afraid of Detroit. Like, Detroit sounds like a very tough city. And I'm in New York City, but.
What have you heard about Michigan that hasn't been threatening, I guess? You have the whole, like, Muslim population thing.
Right, they got the Muslim thing.
Which makes people nervous.
Right, they got the poverty thing, like Flint. You always hear about Flint, Michigan, and the water problem in Flint. And you got Detroit, which we all know. You know, you got that whole Motor City thing that went to shit years ago. I don't know, it's just a weird place. And then some nice guy like Dave Landau comes out of it.
Who wasn't nice originally, though. He turned himself around.
He did turn himself around. He was quite the degenerate. Thank goodness, though. Now he's a family guy. He's out doing stand-up, earning a living for his family. Nice guy.
I met Bob Kelly just recently, just within the past week. He said to say hello. I just saw him earlier today.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know that he rescued Dave Landau, in a way.
Yeah, he's the one that was like, dude, what are you doing? You piece of shit. You got to do something with your life, dude. Yeah. He had been on the road with him a couple of times, and Dave was a little unruly and shit. So, you know, he had to learn. Got to learn his lesson, and he did.
Is that not expected, though, of young comics? Aren't they supposed to be unruly? And
I think you're supposed to go through that phase where you're just a complete fucking disaster. And then at some point, pull yourself out of it.
You get a mentor.
Right, a mentor. You know, and that way, then you have that story of how you used to be a degenerate, and now you're a fucking good guy. That's like Rich Voss, Jim Norton. Like, all of them have those stories, and then they got well, and now they're doing great.
But you did say Jim Norton got well, right?
As well as one could get, I assume, like, for, you know, drugs and alcohol and things like that.
Right. Did you see his scrapbooks yesterday on Instagram?
No.
His scrapbooks from the 80s from Ozzy and Kiss.
Oh, no.
And, like, they were all cut out of magazines. And if there was, like, a word, or he would just cut the word out. So all the pictures are these weird shapes. I'll try to find it.
He's a fucking teen girl.
And then his first autograph book.
It's those old albums where you have to pull the cellophane off the white and hoping it doesn't rip the photo.
And you push it back. We all had those photo albums when people used to take actual photos. Now you just digitally take it on your phone and never show them to anybody, and they reside there until you get a new phone, and then they just go away. That's what pictures are these days.
Yeah, or you need one, and you're like, motherfucker, you just keep doing this.
I can't see it. Mine is 8 million pictures of my cat. Like, I'm some kind of fucking fruit. I'm just taking, oh, look, he looks so cute today. And I got thousands of those. And then screen caps and grabs from photos on Google Images so I can make memes. That's about it.
I thought that I would get into, somebody sent me a Polaroid. Wow. I'm like, all right, I like that sort of tactile, like physical photo, you know, like a DVD from, you know, Deep Discount or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not going to lug her. I mean, it's like a huge box.
It's a square. Yeah. Was it one of the ones that unfold like that? Or was it one of the Polaroid swingers?
It was a new one. So it wasn't even like a Polaroid. It was a different brand, but it's a wide angle one. So it's like,
all right, but
a poster comes out.
Photos.
It is a photo shit. And I brought it like to traveled with it three different places. By the third time I didn't use it, I'm like, I'm not fucking bringing this anymore.
That.
I'll just take pictures. I'll never
look. You get
again.
These amazing pictures on your phone. And if you want a hard copy, you could go to any CVS or anything and they'll print them out for you. But I remember getting one when I was about eight, I think my eighth birthday, I got a Polaroid swinger. I remember the commercials. It was like real groovy. Meet the swinger, Polaroid swinger, and it was $19.95. And, you know, you had to buy the film and everything. And this one was weird. You had to pull out a white tab first, and then a black tab would pop out. And then you had to pull that one out, and that's the one that had the actual picture. And then you had to wait. It didn't, like, appear before your eyes because it was on that thing. And then you had to wait, like, 60 seconds or something. And then peel it off, and you would see your picture. And it was black and white. It was a black and white Polaroid camera. And my dad got mad at me because I used a whole thing of film just taking worthless pictures. I'm a kid. I had a camera. Nothing exciting is going to happen in the apartment complex in Central Islip. So I just took pictures of a car and a tree.
Photo after photo of your marionettes.
Yeah, my stupid fagging marionettes. It's a doll. Marionette without strings.
The first picture I ever saw of a naked person or naked girl that I knew was on a Polaroid.
Really?
I was in eighth grade, and it was a guy whose name was Danny Rinn, and he was a year older, and he was showing people a picture that a girl.
Many years wiser, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what? Yeah.
A year older and worlds apart.
You can use cameras for this?
It actually comes out. Yeah, that was the only way you could actually take naked pictures back then because you didn't have to get them developed or anything. So
Like
it wasn't an issue.
13, 14, walking into like a photo mat or something.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I did find some nude pictures of my dad's girlfriend in California when I was a kid. I was rifling through the drawers. You know, whenever your parents are away, if your parents out there and your kid's about 13 or so, when you leave the house, they do rifle through your shit. Like they'll go through your closets, your drawers, all kinds of shit. I just found horrific things like, it's a muscle massager. Oh, is it? Is it? You know? And then I saw these Polaroids in an envelope in my dad's night table, and I start going through them, and there his girlfriend, Corey, when she was like in her 20s, I guess, and there she was just posing naked. I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I think I jacked off to him. my dad's girlfriend.
If you Google that, like I've Googled like 70s, like swinger Polaroids, 70s nude Polaroids, they're amazing. Oh. There's no recreating it.
Let's pop up some 70s Polaroid nudes. I bet there's one thing in common with all of them, and it probably resembles that beard on your face.
Yes, yeah.
I bet.
It may as well be the 1870s. It's so bushy.
Yeah. I think genetically, women have evolved in the past 40 years, like where I don't think they have the capability of growing bushes like this. Look at that. That, I swear to you, that looks like Buzz. That looks like the first girl I ever had sex with, Buzz, in California. Like when I walked into the bedroom after she said, come on in here, like that's what I saw. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, look. Girls even grow bushes like that anymore? I don't know.
I think maybe in a like a retro hipster type way.
Yeah. That's and tan lines were like a thing. There were no tanning salons and you couldn't go nude sunbathing unless you were some freak. Look at that. She's doing a little housekeeping on that one.
Yeah, a little trim.
Keeping the flying Delta V going there.
I suggested to my girlfriend, I was like, you should grow out your bush, you know, just to see what, like,
yeah, see what it
looks
like.
And she goes, ew.
Yeah, they don't really
seem like,
to.
That was a test.
They don't really seem to be that. Wow. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Look at her.
Look at the eyeshadow. Oh, the eyeshadow.
The eyeshadow and the bangs are great. That would be awesome, though. You just take that home from a bar one night and you just, like, That's what you see? Come on.
What's awesome is in this moment, not in a million years did that lady think, like, someday
these are going to be online. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like a grandma now.
People will be commenting.
Right there is a grandma.
Oh, if she's lucky, she might be dead.
Oh, my God. Yeah, look at this. What are they doing? They look so uncomfortable. She's like, ah.
She's at attention practically.
She's like Norton acting. She don't know what to do with her hands.
It was almost guaranteed.
Oh.
Every search
Holy
warrant.
Holy crap.
Every search warrant we did in the projects, as you were going through every nook and cranny, you were guaranteed to find a stack of these just
of nude
naked
Polaroids yeah.
everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
What the hell's going on there? Looks like fucking...
The window of a butcher shop.
It's like Tyson's eye after the Buster Douglas fight. What happened?
Or what's his name? Foreman's ear after the Tyson fight.
Yeah, yeah, or... yeah, what's his name? All right, that's awesome.
All right.
Thank you for that. Oh, there she is. The bangs and the eyes.
That's a pose.
Yeah, that's like... She was like, I want to take a picture like in the Playboy.
And do you ever see boobs like that anymore?
No, I don't
Not
know
really,
what that
right?
is. Look at that, yeah. They look like you literally took the tops off a baby bottle and glued them on her tits.
Yeah. And they're like skinny here, but then they get bulbous and then thin out again.
Yeah, those are just
almost like footballs
nursing.
With, yeah.
Those are custom built for nursing children. Chidgens. Amazing. Wow.
Good for her.
Bravo. A little journey back in time for you here on the Anthony Cumia Show. We like to delve back into the past sometimes and show you what it was like. Show the kids out there what it was like when we were younger.
Don't you find all the time, don't you find so many times you're just like, I know you don't understand it. It was just better. It was just better.
And then you just sound like previous generations who said the same thing.
Assholes that I was dismissing.
Yeah, yeah. The people that were saying, oh, it's better. And he was just, you just don't get it, man. We're the future, man. And then, then now you're the past. And you gotta talk wax fantastic about the old days together.
I was on the Impractical Jokers cruise this past week.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That's where I met Bob Kelly. It's
cool.
Awesome. I have to highly recommend it.
I hear they're very fun. Yeah.
It's really fun. But their internet sucks on the boat.
Yeah.
So I bought it 1 year, and after that, I'm like, I'm not buying it anymore. It's not worth it. 5 days without the internet is liberating. It's cleansing.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the name Trump once. Like, nobody on that, all the people on that boat care about it is getting drunk.
Right.
And like going to shows. Nobody cares about politics or the shit you care about every day. So those 5 days, you're just like, nobody's bugging me with email. I'm not hearing about politics. I'm not hearing about this one complaining, you know?
Isn't that great? There is a detox period, I guess, where at first you're just going nuts. Because you're kind of getting the DTs from not being connected, and then after a few days go by, like you've weaned yourself off of it, you find it pretty liberating that you're not attached to this fucking annoying anxiety machine.
Yeah, you had a good point, man. You were like talking about like 1984. I was listening to one of the shows, and you're like, you know, they're talking about chipping us, and people are like, you can't chip us. And it's like, but they chipped us.
They chipped us. They just figured out a way to do it where not only would we give permission, but we would clamor for it. We'd stand online to get your tracking device and pay
like 2 months' salary,
a load of money for yeah. And you can't leave. If you leave your house without it, you will turn around to get it because. You know, it's not only your tracking device. They presented it in a way where it's necessary now, and you become addicted to these things. There is a story that I wanted to get to that kind of fits. Oh, here it is. Your smart light. These are all anything that has smart in front of it is a rat. So that's all it is. It's there to rat you out to a company. To some corporation or multiple corporations or advertisers, the government, law enforcement, whatever it is. Smart equals rat. Remember that. A smart light. There's a smart light. And apparently what it's doing is telling Amazon and Google when you go to bed. So again, you know, it sounds convenient, I guess. You don't want the light on the whole night. So what do? You set it? How does this fucking thing even work? After you connect a light fixture to Alexa, Amazon wants to know every time the light's turned on or off, regardless of whether you asked Alexa to toggle the switch. So you could just, like, turn the light on and off. Alexa still knows and contacts Google and Amazon and lets them know when your lights are going on and off. Now, it sounds pretty harmless, but it's just another piece of your life and what you do and your routine that is given over to a company.
Like, unless they're selling that information to, like, burglars or, like,
all right,
they're asleep, you can get in there. Like, what's – yeah, well, like, why would they want to know what time you go to bed?
Yeah, I would gather, again, to to focus advertisers to you. Are you somebody that stays up late at night? What kind of products do people that have a certain sleep pattern use more than other people? So – you know, maybe some kind, you know, if people are up all night and they notice that they aren't sleeping, maybe use focused drugs for insomnia to these people. So, you know, I every detail about your life, it sounds harmless enough, but when you put it all together, they get a pretty good profile of who you are and what you do and what you buy and don't buy.
Way more than, like, when they used to hang around in the mall and they'd be like, hey, can I pay you $3 to answer a survey?
Right, a survey.
And you're 18, you're like, yeah.
Yeah,
my time's worth nothing.
Fuck yeah. Get me an Orange Julius.
I need to buy some more Polaroid film.
Get some Polaroid film to take some nudes of my chick. Yeah, so this smart light, the information may seem mundane compared to the smartphone geolocation software that follows you around or trove of personal data in Facebook and vacuums up based on your activity. But even gadgets as simple as light bulb could enable tech companies to fill in blanks about their customers and use the data for marketing purposes. That's exactly what I just said before I even read the goddamn thing. I'm a genius. Having already amassed a digital record of activity in public spaces, critics say tech companies are now bent on establishing a beachhead in your home. That was the one play, a beachhead. Doesn't that sound fucking scary? It's one of those things, like, we just become so accustomed to it. Remember, we'll talk about a little nostalgia again. The first inkling you got about the internet and the ability to purchase things online and pay bills on your computer. It was magical. And then there was always the guy that was like, yeah, fuck that. I ain't putting my credit card or my information in there. And now it seems so quaint that there was actually a time where you thought you had a choice as to what information was going on online.
Those people are now they're called the Amish. Like,
yeah. I'm off the grid. I don't want my information online. Thank you for your service. Yeah, you're on the grid. There's nothing you could fucking do about it these days.
Yeah, unless you're like survivalist type and you're like, look, I don't need that shit.
You're
a Kaczynski, maybe.
You know, you're up in Ruby Ridge somewhere in Idaho.
They're still going to find you.
They find you. Yeah, but figure it out. They find you anyway and mow you and your family down.
Shoot your dog.
Shoot your dog and your wife. You're scary shit. Yeah, it's just one of those things like Waze is another thing.
But the smart light, is that part of Alexa or is that a separate?
I guess it's part of the system. Where you can go, Alexa, turn on the lights in the kitchen. Or,
okay.
You know, so and you can use an app on your phone. You could talk to Alexa, or you could just flip a switch like the old days. But locks in your house, there's that. Yeah. There's the Ring system, which I have at my house. And you think, again, all right, that seems pretty good. I like the idea of being able to see who's at my door without having to answer the door. But all that information is going somewhere. You're not the only one privy to it.
I'll never do it, but I would love if somebody made like an infomercial, like a quick infomercial about that. Like, tired of switching those pesky or flipping those pesky switches? Suffering wrist pain with an X through it.
It really is ridiculous.
So flip the fucking switch, you lazy.
Yeah, yeah. These smart houses, rat houses, by the way, smart houses are completely automated. And this was something we heard about when we were kids that you were going to – the house of the future, completely automated. Your wife won't have to worry if the stove is on. She could turn it on from her secretary job that she's doing and getting her ass patted by the boss. Yeah, that was one of those things. And again, when presented at like a World's Fair or something like that, it seemed very cool. And nothing, it was never presented in a way where it was going to rat you out.
Right.
It was supposed to be self-contained.
Yeah, because, well, also, like, you're young, so you're like, that sounds awesome. But, now, like, at this age, when it finally comes around, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. And then there it is.
Should have tried to stop it.
You know, it's like I was talking about when I recently bought a smart TV, rat TV, for my apartment in the city. And the second you take that fucking internet cable and plug it into the back of that television, that fuck you, your TV is now connected to everything. And it's shit you know about, shit you don't. You're fucking remote. You just want to watch TV, so you're clicking accept on all kinds of terms of service that this fucking thing is now sending your shit out. What you watch, when you watch it, when you turn on your TV, when you fuck, all that information is being used.
Like, the terms of service thing is interesting because you're like, there's nothing about me that you will find out that I'm unwilling to trade to not have to read all this shit. Like my time is too valuable. I don't want it. Like,
yeah,
you have to
yeah.
be a lawyer to understand it anyway.
Yeah, it's very legalese, and it's so long. They like, actually fine. Have a button that scrolls you to the bottom of the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. That's how long it is. You can't even scroll to the bottom of these things to click accept. There's a button that says scroll to bottom. All right, I see where you're going with this. You don't want us to read the fucking thing, first of all.
Yeah, I'll do stuff like that. Like, I'll sign stuff. I'll agree to stuff.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, there's like, it depends on my mood. There'll be like some pushback. Like recently, for Christmas, I went into Ulta to get my niece a gift card.
Uh-huh.
And I go up to the counter and I'm like, can I get a $50 gift card? And the lady's like, what's your phone number? And I said, I don't have a phone number with you. And she's like, well, I need a phone number. I said, you don't need a phone number to conclude this transaction. She didn't even answer me. She looks at my girlfriend and she goes, what's your phone number? I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said,
holy shit.
I go, don't talk to her. I said, this is my transaction. I said, and you're not getting a phone number. I said, ring it up. And then she's like, well, you know, it helps later on with, you know, if you lose the gift card. And I'm like, what's the receipt for then? I was like,
holy
just
fuck.
Ring it up. I'm not giving you a number. And then she starts looking at other customers because now I'm the crazy one.
Right.
I'm the asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to just hand over to some makeup company that I'm like, I've come in here once a year to get a goddamn gift card.
And they'll use that information. They'll sell it to,
oh, yeah.
to other companies. Yeah, they must really tell them, you just fucking don't take no for an answer.
She's looking at the person like behind me, but back a little bit. Like, I believe this guy.
Look at this crazy guy. You're going to give me the number, right?
Phones are coming out and
shit. Don't be crazy guy and not give me your phone number.
100% that next lady was like, I will not be shamed like that. Here's my number.
Yeah, here it is. We're so willing to just hand over shit like that now. We really don't care about our privacy anymore. Privacy was it used to be a thing, kids. It used to actually be a thing. And when you got home and walked through your front door and shut it, what happened in that house was private.
For better, for worse. At times.
Better, for worse, right? I'm not saying it was all good stuff, but it was private. It's our little secret that happened here. Don't tell anybody.
Who's your favorite uncle?
Yeah. And then Waze. You use Waze when you drive?
I do. I've noticed a lot more ads popping up on Waze.
Yeah,
it used
yeah.
to be kind of like...
You got to pay for the app
that
doesn't have ads on it, I gather. I hate Waze as far as directions go because they take you in directions that just are stupid. I absolutely believe that certain navigation systems will base their directions... Thank you, Garrett. They'll base their directions on driving you in front of places like stores and things like, so you see, like Home Depot, let's say, will somehow get money to Waze so that they will direct you so you see a Home Depot store. I honestly believe that. I don't know if it's ever been, anyone's ever even made that accusation, but they seem to fuck your directions up for no reason. They take you off a highway, put you on side streets under the guise that you're getting you out of traffic. Meanwhile, you're stopped at lights the whole time when you were on a highway. I really believe they're doing that to put you in front of things they need you to see so that they can kind of accept, like,
yeah.
It's like advertising dollars. You're putting a billboard in front of people's faces while they drive. I am a bit paranoid. You might notice these days.
I come up with wacky conspiracy things. But I think I'm justified in it because we're living in these strange times like that. So Waze, I use it for cops. I want to see where the fucking cops are.
Right.
And it's pretty good with that. People kind of click and they say, yeah, there's a cop. So it's like, police, 1 mile ahead. And then I could back off a little bit.
Which is a feature that's built in to have you use your cell phone while you're driving, right?
Yeah. I'm a hands-off guy.
Counterintuitive.
I never fucking use my phone while I'm driving. I don't
hope not. Aren't you normally going 140?
It's usually well over 100 miles an hour, so it's probably a good thing. No, when I'm on the highway, I can tell you're driving and you're just like, this asshole's on their phone. I mm-hmm. know it. And then you go up and you see them. They're like, because they're doing anywhere between 40 and 80.
Yeah.
And they're over the lines in the lane. You're like, what? You're not even good at it.
Yeah, but if asked, they would say they were.
Oh, yeah,
I can text and drive just fine.
And it's never anything. Like, anytime a cop pulls over someone, watch Live PD or whatever, or any of the cop shows, or even talk to cops. Anytime they pull someone over for being on their phone, they're never on their phone. No, I was just doing this. Like, no, I never rob a bank. I was just this one time. I need money, so I'm robbing a bank. Like, that's the excuse.
I was on my motorcycle once. I don't think I've ever told this story because it doesn't make me look very good. But relative to the way people look here, I'll probably still look all right.
Sure. True.
So I was on my motorcycle one day, and there's in the passing lane, there's a girl in the other lane, and she's texting. Then she's doing the weave and stuff. God. And she, like, comes over and almost, like, sideswipes me. So I get behind her. Then she goes into the other lane. And when we pull up next to each other, the window's down. And I was like, put the phone down, man. I was like, you're going to kill somebody. I was like, you almost hit me.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, did I?
Oh.
And I said, I just looked at her and I went, and I spit on her.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
it went on her neck and her face was like.
Oh, my God. You should have went, I have AIDS.
Yeah.
Make it even worse.
I think I was too fat at the time. She would have never believed it.
Yeah. Good deal.
And I was fingering somebody on the bike, you know, so she knew there was no way I had AIDS.
Yeah. And my old lady hates you, too.
Did the bitch fall off?
Yeah. You got property of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tattooed. Yeah, that's fucking. It's like you're driving drunk. I've seen it, and it's like they're drunk.
But I think statistically, you're more likely to hit somebody if you're on a phone than drunk. Or I don't know if it's because more people use phones.
Yeah, you're completely distracted.
For bullshit, too.
For nothing. I mean, honestly.
It's not like grandma's on her deathbed.
Right. Hurry. Get here quick. It's like,
did you see what happened on The Bachelor? You know, bullshit.
Yeah, as you fucking T-bone a bus full of children. Yeah, it makes no sense. There's no reason for it. It's just incredibly dangerous. I never do it.
And I know you watch all these videos too, like the people getting hit and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
Like a couple weeks ago, we were on our way up to Chip, the Chip Show, and I got something stuck in my tire, it popped and shit, so I had to pull over to the side. And I moved way away from that car because I've seen too many videos where there's a Chinese family just chilling. Next thing you know, it's like,
bam, you just see a fucking truck come sideways into the back of their car.
Like 90 miles an hour. It's just like obliterated. Yeah. I'm like,
I've never understood. I've watched people changing flat tires on the side of the road, the shoulder, so close to traffic. It's like, you do understand you can drive on that fucking thing far enough to get off the road. Like, I never understood that. I also don't understand how on a moving highway a car could be stopped in the middle lane or the left lane. It's like the car didn't break down and just go, like, you have no concept of how to, in a quick emergency situation, like, go, all right, let me put my blinkers on. I'm going to get off the fucking road. I cannot fathom. And it's always some dummy. You look and go, oh, of course they didn't fucking. They just sat there going, I don't know. And drifted to a stop.
I knew that's what they'd look like.
Yeah. Or the people that get into a tiny little fender bender and think the FBI is coming to investigate a crime scene.
Refuse
they don't move or touch anything. If you hit someone, it's not, they think it's leaving the scene of an accident if you pull off the fucking road. You're dented a fender. Get your fuck car off the goddamn road.
When I was first going with my girl, like, I would send her it was like I became consumed with gravel trucks overturning on cars and or like those little scooters in Asian countries.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Oh, shit.
Until I saw like the pinnacle of gravel truck overturns, and it was this lady and a guy sitting in a car, but it's their car cam. So you like you only have a view of ahead, and you see a truck coming towards them, and you're like, that truck's going to flip over. And it flips over on their car, and you see her, you hear her scream at the last minute, and then you hear the gravel.
Oh, man.
It sounds like a hailstorm, and then it's just quiet. I was like, it's not going to get better than that. I'm done. I'm off gravel.
I'm done. Fuck that.
Fuck gravel.
I was behind a truck years ago. I think I had like a 69 Chevy Nova. Sounds cool. It wasn't. It was just an old car.
In my mind, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was an old car. And, I was behind a tractor trailer that was hauling like gravel, rocks, things like that. And I guess when it was in the rock pit picking the shit up, you know, they got the double rear tires. In between the double rear tires, a rock had fit perfectly in there. And at some point, that thing shot out right at me, hit where the roof line meets the windshield, cracked the windshield, but it hit enough of the roof where it didn't come through. It dented the roof, cracked the windshield.
Holy shit.
But like, if I was just a little further behind it, that thing was coming right through the windshield at me. It's petrifying what could happen out there.
That was there's a Russian video where it's, I think it's Russian, there's a family driving, and there's a brick truck that they're carrying bricks, and coming towards them, they're going different directions, and a brick sails, goes right through the windshield, and I guess it hits the mom and kills her, and the family just starts screaming, and you're like, oh my
God. Yeah, that would be...
curdling, man.
It comes at you pretty fast. You ever see those, someone loses a tire in the opposite lane, and the thing goes... Bonk, bounces, and in a split second, it's in the windshield. Like, that shit, oh, God.
Or, like, somebody's pumping gas, you know. Oh, yeah, this is it, man. Dude, this is crazy. Like, the definition of wrong place, wrong time. What jerks, they stop in the middle of the road.
Yeah, poor Jesus. Not making matters any better.
Spilled milk. Let's move on. Life is for the living. I mean, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Like,
after the hospital, what are you doing?
He's like, if I'm driving anywhere, it's directly to the cemetery.
Holy shit. You need a fucking road warrior vehicle out there with like a chain link fence segment in the... Wow, that's horrible.
Nuts, right?
That's horrible. I must say, that is a horrible fucking video.
It's
wow.
Awful, right? And
do they ever catch the brick truck guy?
I don't know, man. But you think about it, like people are so religious. Billions of people are really religious.
Yeah.
I'm like, explain it. Just please explain that one to me.
I was, we used to call it the unlucky lottery. It was either unlucky lottery or... something else. What was it called, Iraq? Iraq knows. Iraq knows everything.
It was unlucky lottery or sucks to be you.
Sucks to be you or unlucky lottery. And people would be like, well, what's the difference? And the difference was like, sucks to be you is something that happens a lot. It's not that uncommon. It just sucks that you're the guy that it had to happen to today. Unlucky lottery is a fucking boulder on the side of the Taconic Parkway that literally oversaw dinosaurs walking around. Just chose that moment while you were driving by to finally jar itself loose and roll on top of your car. The odds of that happening are astronomical. And instead of winning the lottery by beating those odds, you get crushed by a giant boulder. So that's unlucky lottery.
Right. So it's inconvenience versus life-altering,
versus
if not ending
change. Versus an amazing chain of events that happen that... You meet that, or it's just, you know, something like you get in a car accident. Ah, it sucks to be you. Mm-hmm. Unlucky lottery, though, is an amazing turn of events that happened in order for you to be in a certain situation. So the brick is definitely unlucky lottery. I mean, you leave the house 5 seconds later. And that doesn't happen, you know. It's crazy.
I was a lot younger. That's the first time that occurred to me was when my cat got hit by a car, and I knew that like my brother had let him out.
Oh Jesus!
And I was like, same thing. 10 seconds earlier or later, it might have been completely different, you know? And it goes,
yeah, well,
it
that
goes
big
for
rock that
everything.
Came out of the tractor trailer, that was literally me. Yep. If I was a little further behind, the arc of that thing was right. It was right in front of me, but above on the roof of the car. So, you know, it's one of those situations. I had my brakes go out in a Mustang years ago when I was like in high school. And I was going down a hill and I step on the brakes and nothing. This thing went right to the floor. I'm pumping the brakes, trying to do anything. Emergency brake. Nothing is working. So I'm like, maybe I'll go on the curb and stuff, but there were cars there. I literally shot right across a main street of the town I lived in. And I had everything I thought of was how many times I've seen tractor trailers, cement trucks just barreling through, and nothing was coming or either way when I shot right across. But I sat there, and then you start shaking, and you're like, oh, my fucking God. But those are those moments where it's like, all right, I didn't win the unlucky lotto.
Had that happen, like, more recently, who's your number one suspect? Are you like, Opie?
Greg Opie Hughes. He's like, you find some brake line cutters.
As long as you survive, what an amazing story.
Yeah. That's exactly. As long as you make it. I had the cars I used to drive were just lumps of shit, and I was driving a Volkswagen. It was a Baja Bug, so it was a Volkswagen Beetle that you put fenders on in the front, and the back is cut out, and the engine's exposed. There's a cage around it, Casey highlighters on top. I used to drive it in the woods. It was hilarious. And then I'd go out on the road.
It's out of chipmunk.
It was fun. It was like driving a go-kart around. But the brakes failed once when I pulled right into my my yard. It was the driveway, and then we kind of parked the cars next to the driveway, too, on the grass, like a real white trash fucking family. And I stepped on the brakes. I just heard a bang. Like the brake pedal where it mounted was rusty, and it just went right through the bottom of the floor of the fucking car. And I went right between two of the fence posts and hit the section of fence perfectly and just bashed right through it like a fucking stunt, like a movie stunt. Yeah, that was that. Hi. Wow. Oh, look at me. My Baja Bug. But that's what my car was. I drove that around for like 5 years.
It looks like Road Warrior type.
It is. It was the coolest fucking thing. And let me tell you, when you want to go and drink in the woods, you know, you got your buddies with you or something like that, you just fucking cruise into the woods. I used to scare the shit. There was a place called The Corral. It was a place in the woods in Elwood where I used to live. And we kind of boxed off an area with logs and tree stumps for sitting and a campfire in the middle. And we called it The Corral. Hanging out at The Corral tonight? Because we couldn't go to bars. We were like 15, 16 years old. I had my driver's license when I was 15 in New York because I just had my California license. So when I came out, I just used my California license because you were able to get your California license at the time at like 14 and a half. They allowed you to drive. So I had that. So I was the only one driving at 15 years old. When I was coming out to visit and everything. So I would drive in the woods. We couldn't drink at bars when like 16, 17 also. So I'd drive into the woods and turn the lights on, the highlighters, and watch everyone scatter from the corral. It was so fun.
I like that you're creating new occasions in which to drink and drive.
Yeah. It was fucking awesome. I fucked that car up. I was at a party, and there was this girl I really liked. And she was making out with some guy. So I got very upset. And I hopped in my car.
Took out the front passenger seat like Bundy.
Yeah. Fuck those bitches.
I'll show her.
I'll show her. I'll fucking chop her head off.
And so fuck it 3 days later.
I was like, fuck this, man. Fuck this. I'm driving in the woods. So I grabbed a bottle of tequila. And I hop in the bug and I'm just like, so I go into the woods and I'm going up this big fucking hill, drinking tequila, and I couldn't make the top. The wheel started spinning, so it rolled back and I hit a tree. So now I'm wedged on a hill with a tree. There's no way I'm getting it out. So I look and there's oil dripping out. The whole fucking engine was now bashed in. So I'm strong. I crawled into the bag. just drank my tequila and passed out. I had to get, and there was no calling anybody. I had to literally walk out of the woods, get my friend Dave, and go, hey, you got a chainsaw? Yeah. We got to cut this tree down. I had to cut the tree down to get my fucking car out.
Got a girl that we have to go pick up.
Yeah.
She was making out with somebody else.
Fucking bitch. And then I went into the bylines. There used to be a paper called the bylines, and you'd buy cars from there. Anything. I found Volkswagen for sale, cheap. So I bought it. I pulled the engine out of the old one, dumped it into a there's a manhole on a big cement cover for the sewer in front of my house. We moved the cement and dumped an engine down there. Just nice oily fucking engine into the water system. And then just put a new engine in. And within a few hours, I was back on the road. It was awesome. I bet that engine is still down there in East Northport.
It's still down there. And that girl that you wanted to make out with, you would not touch with a
thousand
foot pole.
Her daughter, maybe.
Yeah,
hey, fucking girl's daughter won't go. Jaguar drinking tequila.
I find that our age sometimes it's even their daughter's daughter. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Granddaughter. I follow a lot of people on Facebook that I went to high school with, and they have friends that I also went to high school with, but I don't follow them. So occasionally in the timeline, you'll see someone go, "Oh, I remember that name," and you look and go, "Oh, that's the mother." And it's like, "Oh my God, no, that's her." It literally, I was looking at a girl the other day, her Facebook page. She was the younger sister of my girlfriend, who was 16 at the time. This was like 2 years ago. I'm kidding. She was like 16. I was probably 18. She was 16 at the time. Her sister was maybe 13, something like that. She was a cute little kid. And now I looked at her page. She looks exactly like the girl's mother. Looked like exactly, and she has a daughter that looks exactly like she looked at that age.
It's really,
it's
weird,
amazing,
right?
Genetics,
like Reese Witherspoon, her daughter, you're just like, what the fuck? You can
even
at that age you can hardly tell the difference, but you're like, right. It looks like a young Reese Witherspoon,
looks like a younger version. So a younger version of this woman. That's how I spend my days.
I was watching an old episode of Modern Family the other day, and are you familiar with the show?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jay's upset that he's getting older and Gloria's younger, and he's like, I'm going to be, you know, it's okay now, but I'm going to be 80, and you're still going to be, you know, 45 or whatever. He's like, you know, will you still love me? And she's like, you know, trying to console him, and she's like, you know, of course I'll still love you then. You know, it's not like if I gained 100 pounds, you would stop loving me. And his face says everything that we all think.
Hilarious. Yeah.
We're not as forgiving, guys.
Yeah, guys are pricks. What are you going to do? You know, I've seen that happen where, you know, you've got a friend and they have a girlfriend who got married or something like that, and then years go by and kind of like, oh, this, I spoke to this guy. I was his friend. I know what he likes. And that ain't it.
Right. Yeah.
Just some fat old lady.
Hausfrau.
It's terrible. Yeah. Hausfrau. I don't know. We are bastards and pricks and sons of bitches.
It's just a sucks to be you scenario, right?
It's a sucks to be you. What are you going to do? And then there are some girls that take care of themselves and the guys fall apart. It happens. Yeah.
Well, I know.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Yeah. The ways thing, quickly, the cops are a little upset, not so much that people are telling where they are, but the DWI checkpoints, those come up on ways. It's like they'll tell you where the DWI checkpoint is, and they say it's very dangerous. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like the idea of, for how much I did it when I was a kid, I really don't like the idea of drunk driving. It's
extremely, you know,
fucking dangerous. I was good at it. So there's that. I was very good at it.
Accomplished drunk driver?
I was a great drunk driver because I would never really get fucked up and drive. I did once or twice.
Didn't you just say you almost fell backwards, destroyed your car?
Yeah, but that was in the woods.
Okay.
You know, I was a bad drunk driver in the woods.
Right. Street driving?
Yeah, yeah. Street driving. Yeah, I wasn't really going to hurt anybody.
Who isn't going to crash
myself
in the woods? Come on.
Yeah, it's the woods. I'm not going all that fast. And I there were a couple of times where I definitely shouldn't have been driving. And you know, I consider myself lucky. But a buzz driving, when they go, buzz driving is drunk driving. It's like, no, it's not. It's not.
It's definitely.
I've been buzzed and been 10 and 2, very safe, and I've been drunk and should not have been driving. So it's not the same. Legally, I guess it's the same if you're over the limit, but this is where my drunk driver's license comes in. You pay a huge amount of money for the test that you have to take. The state makes a lot of money, and then you get rated. You have to take a driving test where they give you booze and check your blood alcohol level, and it's a very stringent course. It's not just parallel parking or something like that. And then at the end, you get a rating on your license. So that 0.08 is over the legal limit now. But let's say I was rated for a 0.12. Now, I could be at a 0.1, give the cop my license, and go, I'm rated for 1.2. I'm fine, officer. And he's like, okay. You know?
That's a thing?
No. I want to make it a thing.
You saying that just recently I was talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, I don't understand how they do it because, like, doesn't alcohol affect me more than it would affect
people.
She's half my weight.
Exactly.
That's a good idea,
and it's
though.
A way to, you know, to make money for the state because they could charge whatever. Believe me, you're going to want to charge a lot of money for that privilege.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would wash well. You could see Mothers Against Drunk Driving saying, like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's put drunks out there.
Tough platform to run on.
It would be a tough. It's like another platform that I think is crazy when a politician decides they're going to outlaw bottomless dancing. Like, there's topless dancers, and then some bars actually allow fully nude girls out there, and they're like, no, only topless. It's like, hold on. You better be sure of this, because there will never be a politician whose platform will be to take the panties off again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run on that. So once you cover up these, they're covered up forever. So be sure you know what you're doing.
What is it, man? Because those are the guys that are always like, just takes a little while before they find
exposed.
Out, like, oh, he's a perv.
Right.
All right.
He's a fucking perv.
He's a perv. He doesn't want anyone else to be a perv.
He can't take it. He loses his fucking mind when he sees naked ladies. And, yeah.
Moral laws are really weird like that, you know, like, because it's so subjective. It's like, I'm not offended, but you are, so where do we, how do we decide?
The old obscenity and pornography cases that used to pop up where the judge said, I don't know, I can't define obscenity, but I know it when I see it.
Well, lucky for all of us, I guess.
Yeah, that's like, it's, again, very subjective. You know, these puritanical people, they want your ankles showing. Islam, Muslims, they don't want anything showing. So it does vary. Now, I think if you some of those pictures we just saw of those ladies and, you know, obviously that could be an issue. But again, that's still also subjective. So I don't know. I think they are made by people that are so out of control that they just can't take it.
Yeah. Well, you saw with what's his name from New York with Ashley Dupree. What was his
name?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, the guy.
What was his name? Mind y'all, you guys are from New York.
Number 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was.
God damn it. What was that guy's name?
There are people listening and watching yelling it out right now. Send it to me. Send me the name. Elliot Spitzer. Thank you.
Elliot Spitzer, yeah.
Just somebody was yelling it into their computer.
Dude who's a hardcore anti-prostitution. And then
he was prosecuting all kinds of prostitution cases. And, oh, boy. And then, whoopsie.
She opened a lingerie store like a half a block down from the comic book store in Red Bank. Really sweet woman. Short. Oh, my God. She's
really
so small. Really nice lady, yeah.
Isn't that something? A neighbor down there.
Yeah.
A neighbor for you.
A neighbor gone wild.
How is do you talk to Kevin?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing well. I mean, he's real thin now.
I see his pictures online. Yeah. Holy shit.
He looks like his Funko Pop figure. He's got the skinny body and the big
head. Yeah,
the
big
and
head.
He's always doing the wide eyes. So.
I know every picture.
Yeah. He just started production on the Jane Silent Bob Strike Back reboot.
Yeah, I heard about this. It's kind of a parody of reboots.
Yeah.
And which sounds like a pretty fucking funny idea.
Yeah, I know. He's excited about it.
Jordan,
Muse's wife, texted me today. I think I may go down to New Orleans to visit the set. Yeah. He looks like... It's his thing. I know he does it. He likes to do it, but he looks like the Sandy Hook shooter sometimes. Like that picture of that dude.
Sandy Hook shooter. Holy shit. wow, look at how fucking big he was.
He looks great.
Unbelievable. Jesus Christ. That's something. Good for him.
All it took was a heart attack.
All it took, right, right. Holy shit.
That Sandy Hook shooter guy, like, I think that was on his ID, that picture. The second the photographer snapped that picture, he should have been like, here, take this to someone who can put this guy away.
Right, right.
That fucking look never says I'm normal. Yeah.
He's got that crazy fuck look. Where is it? Yeah, there it is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's like, I can't contain myself for even one more second. I got to kill somebody or 23 children.
They all have those eyes, like AOC. Those are AOC's eyes.
If AOC wasn't pushing bullshit like the Green Deal, she might be shooting
up
a school.
Look, it wasn't
every picture.
It wasn't even a fluke picture. Oh, my God. Why was he walking around? Holy shit, that is a nut. Oh my dear.
That's the picture
Jesus.
I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's Kevin's.
It looks like the guy from They Might Be Giants.
Oh.
I don't know that band. No, I don't. It's a band, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, been around
a band,
for like
yeah.
40 years, yeah.
Holy shit, the guy was. It's constantly. They say if you could see the white all around the iris of the eye, that there's a problem there.
Because that's the way, like, if you, like, you're getting attacked by a dog, like a
yeah,
mad
yeah,
dog.
You're
like,
in a constant
like.
State of fight or flight.
Yeah.
It's going to wear on you after a while.
Like, do you know that means wall-eyed? That's what wall-eyed means?
Is that wall-eyed?
Is that you can see the white all around the pupil.
Wow, that's
or the,
fucked
whatever,
up.
The iris, yeah. I never knew that. Until
I was watching a documentary on chimpanzees. It was, what is it called? Dynasties. It's one of those shows where they every week or so they pick a certain type of animal and show the community in their group, a pride of lions or a what do they call a bunch of chimps, a gaggle? I don't know. But they had these chimpanzees and chimps like they don't have whites to their eyes. They're brown. They're dark. So it's very hard to see which way they're looking. But a few chimps genetically have the whites around the eyes and they are creepy looking, man. Like they're looking around and you can't see. You see a bunch of chimps and they're kind of looking around, but you can't tell because the whole inside of their eye is the same color. But then there's this one with the whites and you see him kind of look over at one guy and he's looking at him. You're like, oh fuck. It adds a whole nother dimension to their what they're thinking and what they're looking at. It was cool as fuck. Those chimps, man, that whole hierarchy thing and the alpha and how they challenge the alpha for...
No joke.
Oh, my God. They're just, wah, wah. They puff up and start beating the shit, biting their hands off. It's crazy shit. Animals, that nature be scary.
Now, were the ones with the white around their eyes, were they like... rejected? Were they outsiders?
Oh,
or were
they
just kind of hanging out?
I think they were like well respected. Like they would come over and do that thing where they go like that, and the other chimp goes like, "All right, I see what you're fucking doing there." But he was looking around. Do you got any white eyed fucking chimps?
Looking. I don't see anything.
It was
find me a white eyed chimp.
Find me a white. Damn you all to hell, Zira. You have white around your eyes. Damn you. You blew it up. Yeah, there it is. See, there's the one with the brown where you can't really see. Look at how much more expressive and smart that other motherfucker looks. He looks like he's working something out. The other one just looks adorably stupid.
Yeah, the one on the left is like, how can I use that one for my own purposes?
Yeah, yeah. The one on, right. The one on the left is trying to figure out how to get that other one in an engineer costume riding a bicycle in a circus. Aren't they adorable when they wear little engineer costumes like they're going to drive a train? And they got the stupid hat.
Yeah, like if I could sell this guy into like roller skating, a life of roller skating, I can make a few dollars.
It's so fucked up. And in video, when you see him moving his eyes around, it really makes you think like, what the fuck is going on in his mind? Maybe just I want a banana. Who knows?
That shooter guy, like any of those looks, if you saw somebody looking at you like
God.
You would immediately, it would be chilling.
Shocking. Shocking. There were plenty of signs. You got to pick up on signs like that. A guy who looks like a fucking mental patient.
A guy who looks like that. And after that happened, I was like, I'm so glad that he shot his mother because that dumb bitch deserved to
die.
Oh,
my God. You know your kid's a mental patient. Put the fucking guns away.
The second my kid is like, look, if we're going to communicate, I know we live in the same house, but I'm only going to write you emails, and do not take the newspapers off my window because I need them there. I can't tell you why.
I can't tell you why, but trust me.
If you don't lock up your guns, yeah.
We need them. Jesus Christ. I was playing, of course, video games. It's all I do. Me and Keith were talking about it yesterday. It's like, oh, that's all we want to do. Like, just play games. Leave me alone. I just want to play video games. That's my life. It's what I've – that's where I've evolved to. So be it. I play video games. So I stay in the city, and I play Call of Duty Blackout on the Xbox from my apartment. Now, my girlfriend is at my house on the Xbox, so we team up. And it's literally the most we talk ever. It's a conversation. Like, I was thinking of when you used to have to be on the phone at home with your girlfriend,
right.
And it was like you just had nothing to say, and you're just like, yeah, I don't know what, and it would be like an hour of inane rambling babble. Years ago, once I fell asleep on the phone, and I woke up and to that like bah, 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 where the phone's been off the hook forever, and I was like, oh my god, I was on the phone with my girlfriend. She must have been like, hello. She was so mad. Oh, was she mad at me?
But the truth is, like, that's kind of what you're hearing anyway. Because
it was. That's that was the conversation. So I'm on. So now I got the headset on, and we're playing a Blackout, which is it's 100 people drop into a giant map, and the map slowly gets smaller and smaller, and you wind up being in a very small area with the enemies. And me and my girlfriend are our team. It's duos, so it's a bunch of duos in the game. So we're doing pretty good, you know, being a little tactical. The conversation is good. It's not just like, how was your day? What that? It's like, all right, there's a guy at 310 degrees. Go around. I'm going to flank him to the left. These are conversations I want to have with my girlfriend. Shit like that. So we're playing. We land on a boat. There's this big cruise ship boat in the ocean. So we land on that, and there's bad guys also on the boat trying to find loot, trying to find some good guns and grenades and shit like that. So I pick up a battle axe. You could throw these things. They're an instant kill, these fucking things. So I've never hit anybody with it. So I'm in this room, and the door opens. I hear, gah! Person comes in. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. I hit fucking... Missy goes, you just killed me. I fucking threw the axe at her.
Yeah. And now are you done at that point?
Well, like, no, as a teammate, you can revive the person that you're a teammate with. If you both get killed, you're both dead. Or if another person comes up while they're in that injured state, they could finish him off.
Right.
So you got to quickly get to them and revive them. But I was so happy. I'm like, I threw it, and I'm like, yeah, I fucking nailed that person. She goes, that was me. I killed my girlfriend with an axe. It was awesome. And then another time.
Can you shoot each other, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can shoot each other and kill. It's so difficult. I've been playing single for the whole time. So playing two people, I'm so used to just shooting anyone else I see that I wound up shooting her to death also at one time. So a bad guy threw a Molotov cocktail at me. I'm on fire, so it was very hard for me to see. So I saw someone and just start unloading. And she's like, you killed me. I'm like, and then I died because I was on fire. So but it's fucking, we were laughing about it because it wasn't real. It's a game. But it was so goddamn funny. We started getting pretty good at flanking, because if you're a team, we noticed if you go to the same tree and you meet up with another team of two and they split up, you're fucked. Like, they got you in a crossfire. So the first thing you do when you engage a team is split the fuck up. Just try to get around them and get them into some kind of crossfire. So we learned that, and we did pretty well. We lasted, if we didn't even get a lot of kills, we lasted through a lot of games till the end. So it was fun. It's a nice little team thing to do when you're 40 miles away from each other.
Do you have any tips for keeping your cool while playing video games? That's one of my strengths.
No. I am the worst. And another bad thing is I play at my house in Roslyn, and it's a big house. It's not an apartment. I yell. I fuck. Mother, fuck you. Oh, that's bullshit. It's always bullshit when I get killed by the way. Bullshit. Did you ever see that pie graph that said the reason you got killed in a game? And it's a pie graph. A little slice says other player was better. And then the rest of it is total bullshit. It just says total bullshit. And that's what it is. You're like, fuck that. He's cheating. And it's like, no, he's just better than you. So I yell. Then when I play in the apartment here in the city, I forget. And I know this person through a paper-thin wall, and I'm yelling, I shot you in the fucking head! Why are you not dead? In my apartment. So I don't know what they're thinking is going on in my apartment, but it's really loud.
I don't have a teammate anymore. She won't play with me anymore because my temper's too bad.
Oh. Yeah, there. It's so fucking... That's another. Enemy was actually a better player and outplayed me. Fucking bullshit! Fucking bullshit. If you play games, you understand that fucking pie chart is complete reality. It's insane. I can't my biggest problem with Blackout is I drink too much. No, with Blackout the game is I seem to really unload a lot of shots at people, and they just don't die, and they kill me with three shots. I know you got to aim for the head. I've been trying to do that more, but. It just seems like it's unfair to me, personally. Like, the game has a personal vendetta against me. And I still play it for hours on end. My shoulder actually hurts today. I'm injured from playing too much with the mouse and keyboard. So it's my life.
The guys in the NOM took...
Like the NOM, right.
...on their body.
I was talking about whenever we have anybody that's been in the military here, Rob O'Neill. Rob O'Neill, who killed Osama bin Laden, comes in here and he talks about being a SEAL and some of the training and the experiences in combat that he's had. And I go, oh, I know. I play Battlefield. I play Battlefield 5. And boy, you're telling me. I know what it's like to be in the shit.
Yeah, like if you almost get shot, it's total bullshit, right?
It's total bullshit. Right, right. Oh, fuck that. I was hitting that fucking guy 20 times and he fucking... With an AK-47, he fires off two shots and my buddy's dead.
Guy's fucking turban flew right off.
It's bullshit.
How can he not be dead? Did you see the video of the guy checking? It was a terrorist guy and he's checking his gun.
Oh, is that
and his
awesome.
Fucking turban flies out? Does a couple flips.
Yeah. I love those shots of those Haji guys and they're like over the wall. Yeah. And they peek up and bam!
It's like right through his eyes.
Oh, just terrible. I don't know. I don't know how those wars still go on. We have all the good shit. They have crap. They don't have any tactics. They shoot over walls like this. And it's still going on after fucking 20 years. I just don't get it.
I don't feel committed to anything. Yeah. Enough to do something like that. You know, like there's no... In my entire life, there's never been a cause where I'm like, all right...
That's what it's like being living in America. That's why people take it for granted, I think, and they should really appreciate the fact that we've never had to go over a wall here in this country and shoot at people and get shot at that level. I don't know how people don't appreciate that because it happens in a lot of places around the world. So
it happens in like almost every country, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, aside from this one.
We literally play games. It's entertainment to make believe you're in a war. It's fucking entertainment and called a game. And it's reality in a lot of places in this world. We have eating disorders. That's how fucking amazing this country is. We have a country where girls won't eat on purpose and die of starvation. On purpose, with plenty of food around.
Or eat so much on purpose that they get
so
on a TV show.
That there's a TV show where they got to cut half their fucking stomach out. Do you think that's happening in fucking Uganda? You think that's happening in Somalia? No.
Right.
There's no eating disorders. Fucking America. It's amazing.
Yeah,
you have the freedom to be an idiot.
Now it's time for Ivory Coast, my 600-pound life. Yeah, You'll never see that
show. My 60-pound life. He is so fat. I do not understand. Look how big.
Lose a few lbs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The doctor comes in. Oh, I see you have been eating.
That guy's
not
awesome.
Sticking to the diet. You step on the scale. 60 pounds. My 60-pound life. Oh, my God. I got to make a meme now. Now I'm going to have to download pictures of starving Somalis and the doctor. That's it. I came up with yesterday a way to get around the blackface. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, because a lot of the blackface thing is happening. Virginia, they got everybody in Virginia apparently put on blackface at some point. Or they were raping women. I don't seem to...
Real quickly, when I went to school, we had, you know, senior dress up day. This would have been 1986. And we did not have any blackface, but we did have two black guys who dressed in tattered clothing with chains around their neck, and another friend of ours dressed in a full-on KKK outfit.
Wow.
And walked them around.
Oh!
And they had the time of their lives. It was like nobody was offended. Nobody was upset about it. The guys, Bobby and Jimmy, these two friends of mine, were like, they thought it was so funny. They're like, this is awesome.
It was a different time. Yeah. I think the sheer number of people that did blackface in the 80s shows you that in the 80s, it wasn't that big a deal. Like, that's what's proving more. It's not proving how many people were racist. It's proving how accepted it was as a costume or as a goof.
Right. Yeah, still, and at that point in time, yeah, it's not that it wasn't like, because you can look back and be like, yeah, that is kind of fucked up. That none of us were like, collectively, like, maybe this isn't cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But for whatever reason, no one did. And then at a certain point, they did do it. But to look back and be like, oh, well, everyone was evil. And because the mentality of comparing like today to 10 years ago or 30 years ago, it's like, it's insanity. You can't do it, but they'll keep trying.
I brought up an example the other day. If you look at AOC's green plan, that whole fucking ridiculous green plan and fossil fuels and things like that, global warming, let's say it was all true, that we are destroying the planet with our carbon emissions. And let's say that they figure out a way to do this plan and no more fossil fuels could be used. People are taxed and persecuted for that. Let's say in 10 years, there's a picture of you in a big fucking Escalade, an SUV, and it's looked at as so offensive that you would have driven something like that and contributed to this unbelievable destruction of the environment. Now, you won't know now. You're just in a truck. But 10 years from now, you'd have to be going, I apologize. It was a different time. And then people would be like, no, you couldn't fathom that right now. But we couldn't fathom 10 years ago that what's being called offensive now would be offensive.
Today, someone would literally have to drive an authentic Nazi vehicle down the street to be that offensive.
To be that offensive. Yeah, true. Yeah. Hey, they're kind of cool. You know, the old Volkswagen thing. I remember that. Remember when Volkswagen decided to put out a car called the Volkswagen thing? And everyone looked at it and said, yeah, that was one of the Nazi staff cars. That's like a Hitler car.
A friend of mine had one of them in high school.
Really?
Yeah, ugly car.
They're the ugliest fucking thing, but I guess they were pretty durable, and the Fuhrer liked it. But why would you look at plans from the 1930s and 40s Nazi Germany and go, yeah, let's make that. Yeah, the Volkswagen thing. Just an ugly fucking vehicle that was. And that's actually one that kind of is trying to look cool. The off-the-showroom floor ones were really ugly.
But, I mean, technically, like, if you think about it, like, the way things go, in terms of, everything being offensive, it's like, we will reach the point where AOC herself is offensive.
It's offensive. Well, she offends
like, oh,
me.
She thought the fucking Green Deal was enough?
Yeah.
What kind of Nazi is she?
Green Deal. I love it. I love that Mitch McConnell is going to call for a vote on it to see what idiots actually sign off on this thing and say, yes, this is a good plan. It's ridiculous. It's childish. It's immature thinking. It's not. And then they're trying to equate it with going to the moon. Like, well, you know, they said that was impossible. But no, you don't understand. You
Some
know what
people still do?
Yeah. You know what? Did you ever see the Apollo Saturn V take off? Blows off a lot of smoke, burns a lot of fuel. Yeah, it wasn't windmill powered. Fucking dummies.
Yeah. The Green Deal thing, it's like, who wouldn't want the environment to be cleaner? But it's like, be realistic, man.
Yeah. And that's another thing. The United States, another amazing thing about this country is that we are, for the size of this country, for how we dominate in industry around the world for how many people we have, for how many conveniences we have, and cars and factories. We are one of the cleanest nations on the fucking planet. We figured out how to burn things efficiently and clean as we can. Now, China and India, they're
not so much.
Not so much. They're like the industrial. You watch old Industrial Revolution pictures in the 1900s of the United States. That's where they're at.
Like that fast motion black and white people walking around.
Yeah, yeah. Just a haze of smoke everywhere. So what we do here, we're done. We did it. We're great. Pat yourself on the back and point the fingers elsewhere.
Well, Google like the world's top like dirtiest cities.
Yeah.
You will get bored reading the list before you come to an American city.
An American city.
There's so many others, like thousands of them are in India alone.
Yeah. Our filthiest city is better than any place you can go.
Nobody gives a fuck about that, but it's like, hey, do you mind if I get a straw? They're just like, get the hell out of here.
Oh, that's all they had to see was someone with pliers pulling a straw out of fucking
out of a turtle's nose.
And all of a sudden it's a goddamn epidemic.
Hold on, an 8-year-old is upset. We need to act.
An 8-year-old is mad that a turtle had a straw up its nose. This turtle's name is Artie Lang. Crazy. I love Artie, please. I did the Comedy Cellar podcast last night from the table at the Cellar with Jim Norton and Dove Davidoff. It was a great time. And Noam, who owns the place, it was a lot of fun. Really, a really good time.
I think I possibly offended one of Bob Kelly's friends, because there's a whole bunch of comics on the cruise, and they're in two different hour and a half blocks. And I wanted to see Bob, and I'm buddies with Joe DeRosa, so I wanted to see him, but they're in different blocks.
Cool.
And I said to Bob, I was like, I wish they could just push you guys into the same block so I didn't have to sit through two. And there's a guy, Nate Bar, I don't know how to pronounce his last
name.
Bargatze.
Who seemed a little put off that, not like a dickhead, but a little remark, but I went and saw him, and he was actually very funny. I liked him. Yeah, I actually
What was
like
he
him.
Put off by, though, the fact that
I think that I was like, I don't want to sit through all these other guys who I don't know. There's so many people.
I could see how that might be a little bit like, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, but
I can see maybe.
Yeah, you have to sort of like have an ego like mine, where I just assume people would not know that I was into anything, so I don't get offended by it. But yeah, I went to a set. He was actually very funny. A couple of the other guys, not so much, you know, not as funny. But it's just, I was telling my girlfriend on the way here, I'm like, there are so many young comic guys, you know, like stand-up comics. It's like, it is impossible to keep up with them all.
It really is. Everybody, everyone has a special. Everyone's got videos available, and I don't know. In the 80s, there were a lot of comics too, but you only saw them at comedy clubs or really good comics on HBO comedy specials. That was it. But these days, like there are too many comics, and unfortunately,
comics
not enough.
They don't know you're a comic.
There are some really funny ones. You know, I've become friendly with over the years with a lot of amazing comics. And these days, I'm looking around, and it's there are some just brutally unfunny social justice warriors.
That's the thing,
like signalers.
That's the thing. People like they're like, okay, if I want a career, which they all do, here's the path of least resistance, and that's to not hurt anybody's feelings or jerk off when they're in the room or whatever, any number of things. But it usually equals not funny. Like, to me, anyway.
Yeah,
to me. I like a darker edge. I like people that, like, don't give a fuck. They're not politically correct. They're not, you know, nobody's going to step up to them and be like, hey, how could you? How could you say that?
Yeah.
It's like, get the fuck out of here, then.
We were talking last night with Dan Natterman and Dove Davidoff about comedy and comics and what they have to do and how they have to work material out. And sometimes a joke could take a year of doing it before they could figure out the right delivery, the right wording. And they just keep trying and trying. And at some points, the joke might be offensive. At some points, it might not be funny. It might seem mean-spirited. And as the comic works that out, it becomes the joke after a while. And that's how they want it delivered. So if you start videoing a comic working on his shit, it's literally like you watch a cooking show with one of the best chefs ever. But now halfway through cooking, you pull it out, eat it, and go, this is terrible.
Right.
It's disgusting. I thought you were a good chef. It's like, it's not done yet. It's not fucking done yet. That's how these comics are. And they're not being allowed to go up on stage and work this material out until it's cooked before people yell about how horrible it is, unfunny, mean, offensive. And meanwhile, that's the progression that jokes have to take.
Well, I feel like you just have to do that checkpoint Charlie thing where it's like, if you have a cell phone on you, you will not.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what Louis's doing now. Kevin Brennan's doing shows with Louis, and they have him put the phones in those bags. You can't use your phone. And that's it. Because, yeah, they videoed him doing shit, and it's like, oh, he's making fun of school shooting victims. It's like, no, he's
like, no, he's not, though. But no, he's like, what are you hearing that I'm not hearing?
Right. Well, that's just it. If he makes a joke that even mentions a school shooting, he's joking about a school shooting. He's joking about how dumb teenagers are.
Right.
He's joking about how stupid teenagers are and how we're taking them seriously about what they're talking about. Even though it's a serious topic, they still have dumb ideas and they're still stupid kids.
Well, it's like it doesn't make you an expert in the Second Amendment just because
you were shot at.
A guy got shot next to you.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It just doesn't.
And then the joke about, you know, just push the fat kid in the way. That's that gallows humor. That's we were also talking last night about how funny horrible things are. For some reason, humans like things that are terrible. They find them funny if it's presented in the right way. I don't know why, but it's always been that way. People laugh when people fall down.
There's an article somewhere that says, like, if you have that dark sense of humor, you're more likely to develop, like, that presenile dementia.
Oh, really?
Which explains a lot. I forget shit all the time. All the time.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense then.
Yeah, but so, but you
I don't remember shit.
But like you think about the comedians that you really liked growing up, you know, Pryor and George Carlin and these guys, and they weren't doing like soft humor. Like it wasn't like say Bill Cosby stuff where
right.
like
yeah.
My parents listened to Bill Cosby.
It was Bill Cosby, and then there was Pryor.
Yeah,
that's you know, opposite ends of the spectrum as far as material goes. And who knew who was going to be the bigger fucking piece of shit? given Pryor or Cosby, I absolutely would have picked Pryor. But Cosby turned out to be the real piece of shit.
A guy who grew up in a bordello and lit himself on fire, freebasing coke.
Fire.
And then Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Didn't Pryor, after he set himself on fire, have that... he did the joke on stage.
Oh, I think he did.
Yeah, yeah, with the match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let him match. Richard Pryor goes, yeah, yeah, real funny, motherfuckers. That's yeah, fucking great.
But if you're going to be set on fire, better that than, like, at a protest and, like, a Molotov hit you in the back of the head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then
just
you're just...
go up, you know, or you're trying to light an American flag on fire and your sleeve goes.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't feel that bad when I see that.
That's all you'd need if somebody was burning a flag would be a baby food jar of gas. Mm. And you just throw it into the fucking crowd that's lighting the flag on fire. They would go up in a second.
Yeah.
Ooh, did anyone ever do that? Jesus, that's crazy.
It had to happen somewhere.
Don't do it.
Did you see the video? I think it was in France, the protests where like they throw these flashbang grenades.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy tried to pick it up.
Oh,
did you see it?
Oh.
Didn't end up well. He will be using his left hand from now on, I believe.
They're called less lethal, not non-lethal. They're less lethal means.
That dude was screaming and his hand looked like Texas Chainsaw type stuff.
When I play Blackout, I try to use flashbangs. I'm so bad at it. I constantly flashbang myself. Like I'll see somebody in a building and I'll see him in there. I'm like, oh, I'm throwing a flashbang in. And I'll throw it. It'll hit above or the side of the window, bounce off. Pwing, I'm all flashbanged. And then da-da-da-da, I'm getting shot by the guy. I'm so bad. I'm so bad at this game. I want to be good.
I think they say like your skills peak at like 22. Like after
I
that,
think,
it's diminishing returns.
Yeah, I know. Did someone do that?
Is this the one?
Oh, is this the flashbang?
I believe so.
Right.
Yeah, it's a guy who runs up because he wants to throw it back at the police,
Coyote,
I guess.
Coyote?
Yeah.
Arnold's back and then, bam, he's all...
Yeah, he sees Acme on it.
Fall off. Yeah, Acme. Flash bang.
Yeah, and that's the guy that's like, fuck it, man, I'll show him.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is an extended version, if it is. The one I saw was nice. And
this whole yellow vest thing going on in France is crazy. They are not happy.
Now, are the yellow vests like basically the equivalent of the Antifa? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's all blurred out.
What is that? It's pixelated. I wanted to see his hanging flesh. It looks pretty bad. Even pixelated.
That's all red and shit.
Bad. Wow. Yeah, it's a bomb, dummy. Picked up a bomb.
I mean, you picked up a bomb.
You're an idiot.
Of course your hand is gone.
Keep that back. It's not America. It's the United States. It's not smoke. That blows up, you idiot.
They're not looking to, like, irritate your eyes a little.
Right, right. Another thing. Yeah. And United States is like, oh, everyone's got red eyes after a protest. This guy's arm is hanging off. Yeah. In France.
If you're not...
Oh, shit. Garrett just spun around in his chair in disgust. I guess he saw it. Oh, my God. What is that? Holy shit.
Wow. It looks like in The Thing. Remember, like, the...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's moving. Shit. Dude, it's... I can fix it. My dad's a TV repairman. He's got an ultimate set of tools. I can fix it. Wow. Holy shit. He's going to have to get someone to butter his croissant.
I have a very solid policy of, like, whatever you guys think. That's why I don't go to protests.
That's
why I got both
right.
my hands.
Fuck that.
My eyes, not irritated. Nothing.
When I was, like, 7 years old, eight, around there, my dad, on 4th of July, would get a big bag of M80s and ash cans. I don't even know if they have ash cans anymore. They were like silver M80s. They were really big. And the fuse came out of the middle. It was like shaped like a little barrel. And the fuse came out of the middle like that. And you'd light
like
it.
Like if you could shrink like a toilet paper tube.
Throw it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it was awesome. And my dad would be like, all right, now hold it and put your arm back here. And when I say throw, he goes, don't look, just throw it. I'd be like, all right. And you go, throw, and I throw it, and boom, it would blow up. That would get a parent arrested and get the kids taken away these days. Yeah, my dad put a bomb in my hand and told me when to throw it.
Well, I hardly let my kid use sparklers.
So. Yeah. You know? I got hurt with a sparkler.
Well, it's like, what is it, magnesium or something?
It's some type of fucking magnesium. And I thought once the sparkle's out, it's fine.
Right.
That thing is still like 8,000 degrees. Yeah. And I grabbed the end after it went out. I grabbed it like that. And I just had this burn.
It was a firework. Now it's a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I just started crying.
You would get yelled at.
Call me a fag.
Yeah, it would be like, well, what are you, an asshole?
Why
would,
knock it off.
Yeah.
Knock it off. My father turned into Sergeant Barnes. Take the pain. Take the pain. He's digging the sparkler out of my back with a knife.
God. I told you to throw it.
Yeah. I want you to take a good look at this lump of shit. You don't throw that M80 when I say it. You're going to go out of the bush in a body bag.
I mean, that dude is disfigured for life because of that decision.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, forever. He's going to be like, well, it was a protest back in 2019, I believe. It was many years ago. Oh, what happened? Was it important? Did anything change? No. In hindsight, we really didn't accomplish anything except me losing my fucking hand.
Yeah, this happened.
Oh, God.
Would you get a prosthetic hand or would you get the hook?
Retro hook is kind of cool. I would, if I get the hook, I'm going the whole thing and dressing like a steampunk.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like
a whole thing.
Captain Hook and Peter Pan or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think like gears and things.
Yeah.
You know, I want it all exposed like gears. I don't know. Deep discount. I am so fucking coughing today still. I like AIDS. I got the AIDS. Can I get some water? I think, oh, there's no water.
No, I was only kidding.
Oh, that's awesome. DeepDiscount.com, people. We talk about movies. We talk about TV shows, video games. You want to save money on all those great things? 15%.
I'm going to make up. I'm going to say, say 15%. I'm taking my own responsibility for this. Yes, deep discount. I say 15%. CM15, that's the code you use. There you go. All right. CM15, you're going to save 15% on your orders, TV shows, movies, music, and a lot more. Stop wasting time. Why do you get a cup and I get a bottle?
I don't know. They said I didn't rate a bottle. What the? Look how much she puts in.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like the chip show.
Bottles of water. Are there any bottles left?
It's like the chip show where he's sipping out of the cap.
That's the very last bottle.
I have so much icy cold water.
Wow.
And you have like this tepid fucking...
It's good to be the king, yeah.
What are we running here? What an operation.
The water delivery, doesn't come.
They spent all the money on the branded cups.
We're paying for it. We're ordering it, but it just doesn't come. We're borrowing it from down the hall. It's crazy.
You got to get yourself a Gunga Din, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in this building, it would be pretty easy. There are a lot of engines around here. All right, people, stop wasting time searching. You got that dumb remote in your hand. You're on TV. You're just searching. It's such a hassle. You're not going to find anything. And if you do, it's all pixelated because your signal sucks on your cable and whatever.
Well, if things go to shit and all you have is a generator, this is what you want. You want physical media.
This is what you want. Yes. Tactile. Mm-hmm. Like classics like All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, and so many more great titles. You'll love to watch over and over again. You buy it, you own it, you watch it when you want. That's right. You're going to find new releases, too. Out this week, Bohemian Rhapsody. I say that because he was gay. I'm kidding, of course. Bohemian Rhapsody, the biography of Queen's lead singer Freddie Mercury. It's actually a Queen documentary. Focuses on him, but they got all the guys in there. It's pretty good. The guy does a pretty good goddamn job. And like I said, it's it could have very easily, whenever you do a documentary about a band, fallen into Spinal Tap. It's very easy to do a documentary about a band and have it get a little over the top, stupid, and Spinal Tap-ish. But they did a good job. I liked it. It reintroduced me to a lot of Queen. Because they keep playing the same shit on the radio, you know, like Bohemian Rhapsody. There's so many good songs that Queen put out. I'm sorry I never saw them live in the 80s. But I was like, I was more into...
Most people didn't see Freddie Mercury live.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm kind of bummed I didn't see it live. He put on a great show from what I see on videos. But get it. Get Bohemian Rhapsody 4K Ultra HD. Blu-ray. Be good to yourself. Buy your favorites. Support our great sponsor. Click Deep Discount logo right there on the website. And all through February, you can enter the code CM15 at checkout for that extra savings on all your purchases. Check it out right now. And Garrett has something to tell you.
Thanks, Deep Discount.
Thanks, Deep Discount, indeed. All right.
DVDs, they really are like the nude Polaroids of movie delivery systems, right?
They are. Oh, my God. I just got to stop playing games. I literally am physically aching from video games. I just sit there. I try to get up to... I think there's a 20-20 rule or something. What's the rule? Like, for every 20 minutes you're online, you should take 20 minutes to not be online?
Whew. Who's following that rule?
I do the 20-20. For every 20 hours I play, I stop for 20 seconds.
To recuperate.
Yeah, to recoup. Yes, Iraq?
I did something Saturday night that I have not done in a long time. So I found a brand new game that I got into.
Did you just set yourself up for some horrible jokes?
I was going to say like 25 things.
I refrained from.
That was the old show. We've moved on.
It was going to be skip lunch.
Yeah.
That was. I was going to say that, but I'm not.
Give my neighbor's kid a break.
I went, oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, what did you do that you hadn't done in a long time?
So I found this new game.
Yeah.
And it was like 6 p.m. I'm like, I'll play this for a few hours, see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's now a quarter after 4 in the morning, and I finished the game. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. So I go upstairs, and all of a sudden, my head's I felt like I was drinking.
Yeah.
My head's all wonky, and I'm like, I can't focus. It was difficult to walk. I was like, I got to go to bed.
I have had vertigo for like 2 days now because I can't stop fucking staring at a goddamn screen
yep.
from this far, and all you're doing, like, here's me. like this is not, I like that mental patient.
Or that chimp.
That's what I'm doing. Like that chimp. I'm like, where is he? Where is he? And you're just kind of moving your eyes. You're not really moving your head. So you just sit there. All your muscles get tense. And your eyes fucking... So you wind up getting woozy.
You ever notice you start like... At least I do. My head starts going down. I kind of look...
You look like Randy Quaid and Kingpin.
Oh, that is terrible. Yeah, your head.
I get
like,
so tense, I'm sort of like looking up over.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, ow. And then I get up, go, oh, fuck. Ow.
So the rule is 20, 20, 20. Every 20 minutes, look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. You could do that. Every 20.
Yeah. The end of my cock.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I have a 20 foot long cock.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. My dick is really big. That's. I love it. Anywho, what else is going on? There's some shit. Oh, Kamala Harris. All these Democratic candidates for president are, I don't know. I find them funny. I can't wait till they really have to start beating each other up during the primaries, because that always happens. You remember Donald Trump having fun with Lion Ted Cruz. Now he does a rally in Texas the other day. He's like, and a great guy. You have such a great guy working for you. Ted Cruz. Get it done, Ted, I call him. Get it done. Wasn't that Lying Ted? Wait, that guy looks just like Lying Ted with a beard. Oh, it is Lying Ted. Oh, okay, Donald.
He thought people may not notice.
I didn't know it was Lion Ted. He's hilarious. Donald Trump is fucking hilarious. But it really does kind of call out what's been going on in politics for years. Donald Trump didn't invent bitching out an opponent and then embracing them after the election. It's been done for years. If you remember when Hillary Rodham was running against Barack Hussein, they beat the shit out of each other. They beat the shit out of each other. And then the last election, Hussein is like, oh, Rodham is fucking awesome. She'll make a great president. She's the most qualified person I've ever seen to be president.
Wait, is she running again this time? Or is she?
I don't know. There's some rumblings. Rumbling. Talk about woozy and not able to stand up. I think Hillary's been playing video games for fucking 18 years straight. That bitch can't walk.
Yeah, I mean, she's falling down the stairs of a plane.
That mug got rubber band leg. She a rubber band leg mug. Yeah, I don't know. So Kamala Harris says she smoked marijuana in college while listening to music that didn't exist at the time.
I saw this and I believe her. There's no proof she didn't take a time machine to go to a Snoop concert and come on back.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no proof she didn't.
Yo. Is this...
Also, and I know the answer to this too, they say you oppose legalizing weed.
That's not true.
I know.
and look, I joke about it, half joking. Half my family's from Jamaica. Are you kidding me?
Is that shame or
No, it's the Breakfast Club.
So mad at you. Have you ever smoked?
What's with the booze?
I have.
Okay.
Like I inhaled. I did inhale. Okay. It was a long time ago. But yes.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go. I just
broke loose.
I mean, was it in college? Uh-huh. See, I like stuff like that. That's a real honest answer.
That's a real honest answer. Joint.
You're about to find out.
It was a joke.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country and medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, again? I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
Need more joy in this world.
Oh my God.
It's high right there.
I don't want her to be the president. I'm sorry. A giggling asshole.
Well, she just, because she has to name people that she thinks are hip. She can't be like, oh, fat boys.
Right.
Because that could have been possible.
I know. So it's like, oh, Snoop. It's like, what year was this? What year? The 70s?
Yeah, his sixth grade talent show?
What
are you talking about?
She should have said, like, I was listening to that fucking hip hop, you don't stop, rock to the bang bang boogie.
Or if you want to go mainstream, just go Public Enemy or Run DMC. There's any
there
number.
You go. Well, that's kind of offensive. Snoop is kind of fun about smoking weed and everything.
That's true.
But, you know, if she was listening to N.W.A., I like that song. I put the pussy in its place. And right before I nut, I pull it out into the face and tell the bitch to keep sucking and prepare herself for her first butt fucking. I loved that song.
Now, that would be an honest answer.
That would, yeah, yeah. Wow, that is an honest answer. Holy shit. I booted heroin with Artie Lang.
Is Artie in jail or is he in a hospital?
Artie's in jail.
He is in a poor Artie.
That's got to suck. You just wake up every day, you're in jail. Oh, no. Oh, it's the Shiner's Hospital.
That's right.
Too, with the little arm. I get so.
Oh, little arm?
Oh,
kid?
Oh no. The kid's, there he is.
Alec.
Like, he's gotten so old. Yeah, you're going to get this adorable blanket. I got to shave before the commercials now.
I want to see him in, like, the Shriner's war room. Like, all right, what are we going to do next?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
We're not making any money.
They brought that new kid on board.
New Alec, yeah.
They brought a new little kid. It's like Menudo. Once the little Shriner's kid gets a little too old, they got to boot him out and get the new young kid. That kid seems way too excited about his disease. When I grew up, I broke 900 bones. He says that. He goes like, I broke bones 100 times. All right, you little kid.
All right, Mr. Glass.
Old, little graham cracker skeleton over here.
A bird
little,
with hollow
little
bones.
Little pretzel rod legs. He's adorable. I love those little Shriner's kids.
One of those red box things, you know, where you get the DVDs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You still get them sometimes. I was wondering, like, I'm not a very patient person, and there's a guy in front of me, and, like, you can put in your email address. You don't need to.
Right.
He decides to, which is a pain in the ass to begin with. But the guy is a thalidomide baby guy.
Oh, shit.
So he's typing and shit, and it's taking him forever. And I'm like,
oh,
I know this stinks. This has to stink.
But, oh, it's got to.
Dude, come on. It's fucking cold out. Like, put your email address in another time.
Hey, T-Rex.
At all. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of my way. I'm
rent Jurassic Park and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, go see your fucking dad in Jurassic Park and get your ass. That's just a little flipper.
I want to rent a movie. Just, that's kid. All I want to do.
Poor little kids.
But Kamala Harris, there's something just popped up that she's for federally legalizing weed. Now, does she just say that because she knows it can maybe get...
Pandering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's pandering to the base.
Are there more conflicting rules in this country about that? Like, the city's like, hey, we legalize it. The state's like, no, you didn't. And then the state's like, okay, now we legalize it. And the feds are like, no, you didn't.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, who the fuck is the final decision?
Like, technically... Any of these states that sell weed legally, the feds could just swoop right in and fucking shut them down.
When I lived in West Hollywood, it was like, it's legal this week, the next week they come in. Then it's legal again. You know.
I think they kind of said, look, we'll turn our heads, the federal government, but it's illegal under federal law. But the states can make up their own fucking laws, and they do. And
why isn't that trickle down? Why can't we, as individual citizens, make our own laws here and there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why does it have to stop at a county level or something? Yeah. I want my house to have my laws. That's it. Boy,
how
what
it
would
is
be
in your
the
house,
first
I
thing?
Know
I'd
in
do.
My house, that's the way it is.
The first thing I would do, probably lower the age of consent.
This is
oh,
now,
come on.
This is now Walnut Grove.
Yeah, yeah.
Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. What was that? Yeah. That was getting creepy when the show turned to Almanzo, I guess, was Laura Ingalls' boyfriend.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know, she was like 12, and he's 30.
Yeah, he was way old.
And he starts going out with her. I don't know. That was some creepy shit, but it was, you know, the old West.
Again, at the time, it was completely normal.
Yeah, it was one of it was a beloved program, and it literally pedophilia was taking place on it.
It's weird. Right? We watch The Golden Girls. Like, we'll like smoke at night and watch The Golden Girls. I'm like,
jerk
what an ugly show. Well, that too.
It was an ugly show.
Oh my god! Like, they're so mean to each other.
Yeah.
Like Dorothy B. Arthur's character in one episode. Says that her husband raped her, drugged her, and basically raped her on the first date. She was pregnant, and that's the way the story goes. Then they get married, and then the mom starts. Sophia repeatedly calls her a slut in the same episode, and I'm like, "This is
rape shaming her."
And it's not just that; it's like, you know, one of the girls is like, "Hey, I have a different opinion," and the others just turn on her.
Yeah,
like it's all couched in this like. like, oh, isn't it cute? But like, not at all.
They were constantly skirting, calling Rose a retard all the time. Oh, she was dumb.
Right. Yeah, yeah. She had a problem, and they made fun of it. And then there was the Hua. Who was the Hua?
That's Blanche.
Blanche, yeah. Everything Blanche had to be like, oh, well, I had 3 dicks in me last night. Oh, God. It's
not even
horrible.
A joke. Yeah, it's not even a joke.
No, it wasn't. It was just how much dick she's fucking getting.
Yeah. And then, like, but Rose, I'm like, I would have liked to seen it play out where the St. Olaf stuff, she was trolling them the entire time and making up those stories on the fly.
Oh, yeah.
And really, she's a genius.
Did it end like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. That comes on the Hallmark Channel after I Love Lucy in the morning. So I usually wake up to the stupid Golden Girls after I Love Lucy. And then those horrible Hallmark movies.
They're the worst.
Love on the Farm. a whimsical Vermont ski resort on Valentine's Day. It's always some dude with like a pickup truck and a down home thing, and he's friendly with the girl's mom, and they do things, and the girl loves. It's like a Lifetime movie without the interesting plot twist of the guy being a serial killer. You know, it's just the dullest love movies on Hallmark. They've taken all those Lifetime movies and just cut out the part where the best friend goes, I think there's a problem with that guy. Ah, fuck you. You're just jealous of me. Yeah. And the guy turns out to be Ted Bundy.
Bare minimum, someone has to fear for their life in these movies.
Yeah.
Bare minimum.
No, they're just these lovey-dovey shit movies that they apparently could pump out in a week, these things. They just get these celebrities from TV series that were on in the 90s.
Yeah, that didn't get any work. Yeah,
little girl from Party of Five is now fucking getting laid, and I don't know what it is. They're terrible.
I think that's the girl from the Party of Five. Like, it kind of looks like her.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually the youngest girl from Party of Five is in all those movies now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, yeah. She's not too bad. What's her name?
Lacey Chabray or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, get out of here. That's the girl that was, she was in Mean Girls.
Yeah, she was a little kid. She looks fucking pretty good these days, if you can get over that lisp.
She's still going? I thought she kind of fell off after Lost in Space or whatever she did.
Oh, she did the Lost in Space. No, she's fucking, dude, she is on the Hallmark Channel constantly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that's where people go to, like, they don't do anything else but those movies.
She hardly ages.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
no,
holy
shit. She looks good. She's still very cute.
She's a real religious girl, too,
nice.
I think.
Tits on it.
Big fucking tits.
Big fucking tits. Yeah, that looks good, man. I think didn't she do like one of those Maxim things or like whatever they do now? Yeah, there you go. Holy Jesus fuck. Oh my God. That's the little fucking kid from goddamn Party of Five. That was, who was on Party of Five that was hot at the time?
Nev Campbell?
No.
Never. More like Never Campbell.
Nev Campbell was just fucking plain Jane. Oh my God, it was Maxim. God damn.
Sexier than ever.
God damn. Lacey Chabert.
What, like, what happens though? Like, why is she relegated to Hallmark stuff?
I don't know.
She's
a good
weird actress,
right?
She's really good in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Get on treadmill a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. She could use a little, you know, maybe a little less dessert.
As my gut spills over your counter.
Yeah, yeah. We really are just despicable lumps of shit for even attempting to mock
be looking at
a beautiful girl like that. Oh, we're terrible. Oh, my word. Look at that. Hey. God damn. Imagine that. You just walk outside and your neighbor's like, hi, I'm your new neighbor, Lacey Chabert. I'd be like, yeah.
You may know me from such Hallmark movies as...
Yes, you may know me.
Love on the Farm.
Or Vermont Valentine. They love their Christmas movies. Every Christmas, they got 8 billion Christmas movies that come out. And it's all, again, just her and lovey-dovey.
All those Dolly Parton Christmas movies.
Terrible.
Every shot has at least 95 Christmas decorations in it. Every house has 75 trees. Every cabinet is doilied.
Yes!
And it's amazing. It's fun to watch just for that.
Hilarious. They are the worst movies. And like, I don't know who's making them, like directing and the set decorator.
The set design.
Cinematographer, the director of photography. Like, they pump them out so quick They must just be like, all right, we're done here. Set up this other shot. All right. It's like the Ed Wood of 2019. Totally. Cut, print, perfect.
You know,
Lacey Chabert's tits might come out. A woman of her stature, her tits could fall out of her brassiere.
She's never had a scandal either. Maybe that's why she's not popular.
Think so. Maybe that's why she doesn't have a sex tape. Although that fucking Maxim thing is awesome. Maxim used to fucking do. Who else did they put in there? Maxim had
Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. She was the one, wasn't she in Party of Five? Yeah, she was the one. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Pop her up in her fucking prime. Want some prime jacking material. She was awesome.
Dim the lights.
And when you watch True Lies, you watch True Lies with Arnold, she plays the daughter, I think, right? Isn't she the daughter? Or is that the other one? No, it's her. No? I don't know.
Just remember Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jennifer Love Hewitt was great. No, she wasn't. She was, who's the other one?
It was Eliza Dushku.
Dushku.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Give us some Eliza Dushku in her prime.
She just recently turned somebody in for the whole Me Too thing.
Oh, Me Too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Me Too, all right. I'd say.
If you don't mind.
All right, that's Jennifer Love Hewitt. What happened to her? Yeah, that's.
Wow.
So it goes from that. She looks like fucking Anne Frank there. Yeah. She looked awesome. She was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
She was, yeah, one of the girls.
Just looked fucking incredible. Is that her now? Still looks pretty goddamn.
She always plays a tough girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't she in The New Guy, too? She was like the tough girl in New Guy, I think, with DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
There's like a completely unnecessary bikini changing montage.
Of course, yeah. Pop her up from Jay and Silent Bob. Pop a picture of her at Jay and Silent Bob because, oh, my God. Yeah.
I'd do that.
Oh, she's so sexy. Yeah. Oh, my dear sweet Jesus. What the fuck?
Shannon Elizabeth is one of the nicest people.
Yeah?
She's so into animals and animal causes. And
so they kind of took that to heart with her. Actually, look at it.
Real good at poker, too.
Oh, my God. The slow motion hotness.
Not that long ago.
Goddamn Eliza Dushku. What a hot scene. Goddamn, Kevin. Good job.
It's a short little gal, too, Eliza Dushku. She's slight frame.
Oh, a little spinner.
Yeah, and Kev's wife is real tall. She's like 5'9".
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's Kevin's wife all the way on the left. Wow. That was fucking awesome.
All right. What other job do people have? You're
going to reboot that one?
You're going to reboot the four girls?
Scene like that? Motherfucker.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I really doubt it.
Oh, well. What else is going on? We have an interview with Jussie Smollett. Is that his name?
The interview happens tomorrow.
Oh, is there a clip of the interview?
It's like, one sec.
All right. This is the guy that said he was... He was assaulted in Chicago with racist and homophobic slurs.
This is the Empire actor, right? The Empire actor?
Yes. And now everyone is saying this never happened. And the police are even saying there's no evidence of anything happening. And if it is indeed a hoax, he will be held accountable legally. So here he is.
A billion cameras, somehow.
Yeah.
Is it that has you so pissed off? What?
Better than pissed on.
Is it that has you so angry? Is it the attackers?
It's the attackers, but it's also the attacks.
What?
It's like, you know, at first it was a thing of like, listen, if I tell the truth.
It's on that table.
Then that's it, because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Then it became a thing of
like. Looks like what the past thought art was going to be in the future.
How can you doubt that? Like, how do you not believe that?
Yeah, someday this will be art.
And then it became a thing of like, oh.
Well, did they say he walked all the way back with the noose around his neck?
The noose around his neck.
You feel like he would just take it off, right?
You'd think.
The truth.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So he's now saying that the attack wasn't even as bad as the attack of him not being believed and.
For the attack that didn't happen.
The hoax attack and the, I don't know.
You have no idea how hurtful it is when people don't believe you for something that never happened in the first place.
Fake attack.
But you got to, in this climate, I'm really surprised that anyone is second guessing it.
I know.
Even in the face of logic, even in the face of like, there's a camera there.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So we don't get in trouble.
Right.
We don't need that. A rat inside a New Jersey McDonald's? Is that a thing? Video shows man releasing a rat. Or is it a smartphone?
Or a tattletale.
Rat, tattletale, yeah. All right, let's check it out. See what we got here. McDonald's.
Power rankings of fries.
Eating there.
Five Guys?
Yeah, right.
Inside Newark McDonald's after a man released a large white rat. Video shows the young man and a child walk into the restaurant on February 5th. He had a clear PET container with the rat inside. The kid shouts, "Let me hold it." The man walks into the middle of the crowded restaurant, drops the rat on the ground, and runs out. Oh. Police are trying to identify the person in the video. Matt Uris for CBS Philly.
That's news.
CBS Philly. That was an awful story. Is there video? Oh, there's video. Okay. I was going to say, without video. Is there sound?
You better yell World Star.
Of course, it's fucking portrait mode.
What the fuck? Why can't people just
escape? Why would you do this?
So is the kid with him? Does he want to pet the rat?
No.
And it's not like he, like, stomps it out in front of everyone. He just lets it go. What's a big deal? It's not like it's a just a regular little, like, rat you could buy at a pet store, right?
Yeah.
Everyone acts like they've never seen a rat before. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I live in New York City, for Christ's sakes.
Newark. Jesus.
Oh, is it Newark? Yeah.
Fucking Newark. Believe me, they know what a rat looks like. Just because it's white. It's a privileged rat. That has rat privilege. That, oh my God, that's so funny. Didn't those people watch Ratatouille? They'll go back and make burgers for them, I think. Something like that, right? Isn't it cute? He cooks or something?
The state of news today, what are considered stories, like I tweeted something today, the New York Post, and granted it's page six. The story is Kendall Jenner almost bumped into someone. That's the story.
That's the story.
I think it was Kendall Jenner, and I'm like,
that's bullshit.
And I'm like, okay, one, this is a waste of everyone's time, but two, the woman who wrote that, I'm like, how do you live with yourself?
Yeah.
Like, it's so meaningless. What you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I assume you had to work to get to a position where you're reporting on shit that is completely inconsequential to anyone's life.
Bullshit that no one cares about.
Nobody gives a fuck if she did bump into the guy.
Right.
Almost bumping?
I wouldn't give a fuck.
Bump into the guy? You got a story.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, we almost had a good story here today. There used to be a public service message when I was a kid. And it was something about the urban, maybe it was the Urban League, I'm not sure, but it was a little kid, you heard a little kid's voice, and he's going, "Here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, kitty." And the voiceover is talking about the deplorable conditions and poverty and everything. And then you just see this big rat.
As the kid's watching it eating lead paint.
Yeah,
chips.
Yeah, lead paint was a big thing. The rubella umbrella. Yeah. Or a... chicken pox, I think it was. I don't know.
Is that the one you got on your shoulder? It's like poof.
And yeah, it, yeah.
It's like a big, like,
you got
half
a big
inch
fucking scar.
Yeah, they're gonna like, hey, we're gonna scar you for your life so you don't get sick.
Yeah, so you don't get fucking the measles or something like that. Rubella. Yeah, it was here, kitty, kitty, and the kid was playing with rat. Oh, I used to laugh and laugh.
Is it interesting sometimes having a younger girlfriend and you're like, well, here's the way it used to be. It's like I came this close to getting polio.
Yeah, yeah. I could have been in an iron lung. You could have had a boyfriend in an iron lung. Are there still iron lungs? I think they remedied that like problem.
Boy in the Bubble just a fancier iron lung?
I think that was just to keep because he had no immune system.
Couldn't get any germs.
Yeah.
Shit.
So he was in there. But the iron lung was like for polio, I guess. And your diaphragm would be paralyzed.
Yeah.
So they put you in a machine that was sealed around your neck. And you had to lay there, and it would—they'd have this diaphragm that would pull in and out, and literally make you breathe. And there was a mirror, so you could see people. What a horrible thing! It looked like a little bathysphere. You were in this little submarine thing. Do you got an iron lung?
It's just humiliating, man. Like your friends come over. Like, how do you dance at a party? The iron lung.
They just push you around with the wheels.
Like, dude, this shit's heavy. I'm getting tired.
Lock my wheels. Last time I rolled into the bedroom. I saw one in an Alfred Hitchcock episode where Brian Keith, I guess, is the guy from...
The Family Affair?
Family Affair. Yeah. He was in an iron lung, and he had this girlfriend there. Oh, my. How inconvenient. Yeah, we got to move the iron lung. Do you have eight people that we can cart this guy around with?
How fucking heavy was that thing? And if you want to go outside, what do you...
You don't.
You just don't?
You just don't. You are in the iron lung. How do you shit and, you know, piss? And...
I mean, I'm like, kill me. Kill me. There is no aspect of my existence that isn't burdensome to another person.
Got a little straw with his water, and then the mirror that he could see people. His head is on a table, on a pillow, and...
These days, that would not be woke. He wouldn't be allowed to have that straw. God.
Well, if you put a monitor where the mirror is and then gave me a controller.
Yeah, put the controller in the iron lung.
I just play video games in my iron lung.
I may as well be in an iron lung. What's the difference?
My iron lung. That's hilarious. Look at that technology.
And then that's one less thing that will distract you from your gameplay, like because something else is breathing for you.
The 2020 rule.
This is bullshit.
20 minutes.
This is fucking bullshit. 20 breaths.
Yeah, Brian Keith was in an episode. He had his hot wife, and he was in an iron lung. And he thought she was having an affair with some guy, this guy that would come over and take her out and do
that was in an oxygen tent.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. No, he was some young guy, and he couldn't. He would do all the things with the wife that the husband couldn't do anymore because he was in the iron lung. And I guess the wife was planning on killing the husband to get rid of him so she could be with the dude. So the husband is on to the whole thing, and he's like, oh, boy, you know, I can't have this. She's going to kill me, but there's nothing I can really do about it. I'm in an iron lung. Well, the guy takes her out swimming, the young hip guy, and he comes back, and he goes, well, it's done. So he... was in on it. He told the guy that the wife was going to murder him.
Right.
He rigged it to have the guy murder her first. Iron lung guy. It's not iron brain, bitch. He fucking figured your shit out.
They call me fucking Iron Giant now.
Right. They have to lock my cock up in this thing. It's crazy. Everything's about the cock. The iron cock.
20 feet long.
It's great. I don't know. That technology, I would assume... that if you have a paralyzed diaphragm in 2019, they have other fucking things to do. They don't put you in something that looks like an old Russian tank.
Yeah, they really don't, unless you have like real crummy insurance.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The worst
That's
insurance.
That's an Obamacare device. Fucking Obamacare. Well, oh, did you find out what they do? No?
What? Like articles come up, they're saying the last of the iron lungs, so maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't. I mean, I think it was strictly for polio. So when they got rid of polio.
Like pushing it into the sea to make like an artificial reef with the guy still in it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The last of the iron lungs.
Yeah, yeah. We're plunging this into the depths so coral may grow on it. On an iron lung. Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
All those iron lungs. Holy polio. That is nuts.
Yeah, it says before vaccine development for polio, everyone was in an iron lung.
Who was that? Was that Jonas Salk? Was that polio?
Was that Jonas Salk? Boy, get on your fucking hands and knees. And
that guy should have gotten blown every day for the rest of his life.
Oh, God, right?
By Lacey Chabray-esque type girls.
One guy hated Jonas Salk, the iron lung manufacturer. There's one guy couldn't fucking stand Jonas Salk.
He's like, wait, what do you invent?
Yeah.
Something that is going to completely undo your business.
It's amazing. We're making money hand over fist with these iron lungs. We're going to own the world. We're cornered the market on the... Wait, hold on. My iPhone just rang. Hello? Iron Lung Manufacturing Company? Yeah, he what? Look, he's smoking.
This is.
He's in an iron lung.
Oh, my God.
He's smoking. Oh.
This is one of those moments where I'm like, when I tell my girlfriend about like growing up. When I was in kindergarten, my kindergarten teacher had a limp because she had polio as a child.
Yeah.
And she also kissed every kid goodbye at the end of the day.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine that today?
It's crazy. You'd be so in trouble. Did she have a baby and an iron lung?
I think so.
You're smoking. You're going to get iron lung cancer.
Baby is a cigarette.
Baby smoking.
I mean, back then, it's just like, have a Chesterfield, smoking. Baby.
Yes. Put it back in the iron lung so it can nurse. Kids fucking getting the bends. Decompression.
Oh, my God.
My back is... I keep moving and ow. Like, my lower back... I'm fucking getting beaten up playing video. No fucking games tonight. I'm not playing any video game.
That's a new iron lung of today.
Oh, shit. Look at this guy.
BCV respirator.
The future.
Even that.
Yeah.
Looks kind of like...
That looks a little sci-fi-ish. But at least you could have a drink, walk around the house. 2 feet. Aw, a little kid wants it. It looks like a CPAP for your chest. I guess it is, in essence.
I mean...
That's a shame.
There's no kid smiling like that.
No, on an iron lung.
Poor kid.
Oh, my God, the bullying he must endure.
And what is it? Your diaphragm's paralyzed so you can't breathe?
Yeah. Because your lungs don't really breathe.
Right.
The diaphragm makes a vacuum in your chest cavity. So when it pulls down, it sucks air into your lungs. And then it relaxes and the air comes out. So that's why if you get shot in the chest, you can't breathe.
That's sucking
even if your lungs
wound.
Aren't hit because there's no, it's not a vacuum anymore, a sealed vacuum. There used to be a thing, I remember a lab in science class when I was a kid. They took a jar and put a balloon in it with a straw coming out and then a rubber dam at the bottom. And they'd pull on it and you'd see the balloon would get bigger. It was supposed to represent the diaphragm. But if it's paralyzed, you can't breathe. So what they do is the whole iron lung is a diaphragm. So it's literally sucking your chest bigger and smaller. Oh my God! What is that thing?
It looks like a like a living nightmare. It
looks like the thing Joe Rogan goes into, the sensory deprivation chamber.
It looks like something out of BioShock, that video game, right?
Oh my God! Go in here, you'll be fine. It was invented by fucking Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Yeah, I mean, how as in?
Oh my God! And then you gotta seal it.
How as a nun do you pop that little child in there and think like, oh praise God that somebody invented this shit?
Fucker, she's crying. No. Stop being a baby. Get in your iron lung.
Remember the movie House on Haunted Hill?
Yeah.
When they go under the house and it's this old, asylum and stuff. You see all this old equipment and bodies. Yeah.
Look at this thing. Look at this gizmo. This poor kid's in, and kids are crying now because they aren't allowed on their phone. Go fuck yourselves.
It really does look like something they would put a Soviet cosmonaut in to, like, make sure he's okay for space.
This is mercury. Make sure we fill her iron lung up with radium. Oh, God.
Hair's falling out. They're like, oh, this must be a side effect.
I got to catch a train. Brian Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love having you on. At TellEmSteveDave. And TellEmSteveDave.com, the podcast. TellEmSteveDave. Patreon. You get that on Patreon. What? Patreon.com?
Patreon.com.
All right, tell him. Oh, Steve Dave. Yeah. Okay. Tell him Steve Dave. March 9th, Chicago, Illinois. Stern Pinball with Brian Q. Quinn from Impractical Jokers.
That's a fun time.
And my buddy Joe Curry, Plankfoot. He's at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. Is that today? Wednesday, February 13th. Yeah. Tickets 877 Uncle Vin. So do that and see my good friend Joe Curry. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, fine people, for tuning in to this. And we will see you back here mañana. Mañana. No soy.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Okay.